Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. It's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. I almost forgot there for a minute. You'd think I'd know since I write the damn things. But yeah, Wednesday and Saturday mornings, but hey, swing on over there. You never know what else might pop up while you're hanging out there. So get over there, take a look, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to click that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
All right, Dan, now, you know, we've been over this hundreds of times, I think, since the podcast started on how much Sabermetrics drives me wild. And I just came across another reason. As we talked a little yesterday, they're voting for the MVPs in both leagues today. And in the National League, it came down to Paul Goldschmidt, Joey Votto, and Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah, how do I forget that guy? Well, they had a little panel discussion going on that I happened to catch, and they asked one of the guys, I believe it was Ron Darling, if he had a vote, who would his MVP be? And he said Charlie Blackmon. So, you know, I remember Blackmon had a really good year, but I had to pull up his stats. So he did hit .331, 37 bombs, 104 RBIs, 14 triples, to go with 35 doubles, and he even did steal 14 bases on top of everything else as a leadoff man. So, you know, I thought that was all kind of interesting. Now, I know a lot of, you know, his statistics will get downgraded because he plays 81 games in Coors Field. I get it. What I found out today, Dan, which I did not know, do you know that according to defensive metrics, Charlie Blackmon is one of the worst center fielders in Major League Baseball?
Why is that?
Well, what I also learned today is defensive metrics are not adjusted for your home park. So, you know, Colorado, it's another place where it's a really big outfield. There's no adjustment to that. There's just one setup of, hey, this is how we judge defensive metrics, and that's it. It's not adjusted from park to park like it obviously should be, because that would make a lot of sense, and we wouldn't just get a generalization of what they think or how they think a guy should be playing. So here's a guy, Dan, who had a fantastic year, should be in the running for MVP, but is going to get crapped on because his defensive metrics, which aren't, again, are not factored into his ballpark, are going to hold him down. You know, the more I look into any kind of metrics, Dan, it gets stupider and stupider every time.
I'm trying to process that. Trying to figure it out, but you know, WAR is kind of put to however you want, right?
Yeah, it's a made-up stat. You can actually adjust the factors of WAR to make a guy better or worse than what he actually is. It's not an exact calculation. So, you know, like last year for 2016, the worst fielding center field in baseball was Andrew McCutchen. Did anybody actually believe that? If you did, you were stupid. You know, it's like saying that Albert Pujols is the worst player in baseball, according to Sabermetrics. If you believe that, you're an incredible moron and should probably stop watching the game. So, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, the more I look into this, you know, the more frustrating it is because, you know, here's a guy who had a fantastic year on a playoff team. Granted, they only got in one playoff game, but they were still a playoff team. Something Joey Votto and Giancarlo Stanton can't say, you know, while they both had great years, neither helped their team get into the playoffs. All right. So, you know, he's got that going for him. You know, center field is the toughest of the three outfield positions. He's got more ground to cover than anybody else. So, yeah, you know, I mean, just looking at it. But, yeah, when I heard it and they were like, well, you know, it's not adjusted for, you know, for your ballpark. And then I heard, God, what's his name? I think it's Dave Dombrowski. No, that's not his name. But he's a regular contributor on the MLB Network, and I caught him. He used to be the Rockies GM, and he mentioned how in, I think it was 06 or 07, he went out and made a trade for Willie Taveras because he was rated as the best defensive center fielder. You know, according to his ratings, he was plus 16 and plus 17, and he was the top guy. So he thought, okay, well, you know, this will help out. It's a big ballpark. I'll go get this guy. In Colorado, Dan, 1 year he was a negative two, and the next year he was a negative three. So did he get that much worse, or does the ballpark have something to do with it? Let me bring Dan back in, and he can actually answer that. There we go. Now you can talk, Dan.
I mean, what I was saying was, is the ballpark that much bigger or that much different than everybody else, or is it because of the altitude?
Well, you know, the altitude has a lot to do with it, but, you know, it's got a lot of those stupid angle corners like they put into fancy new ballparks now, and, you know, it's one of the bigger outfields. You know, it's right up there with San Francisco.
Yeah, but he plays center field.
He plays center field, and then looking at it, well, the walls are cornered, even in, like, right center and left center. It's one of those places. But looking at it, Dan, he only made four errors in 1,366 and a third innings. So he had a fielding percentage of .988. You know, I mean, that seems like it's pretty good. You know, only four errors for an entire season. He played 158. He played 158 games. So,
what else does he have to do?
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, I'm kind of like, okay, you know, why wasn't he one of the three guys? I didn't really understand it. And again, I get it. You're gonna ding him for playing in Colorado, but remember, he only plays 81 games there. He's got to put up stats in the other 81 games or else they wouldn't be this good. So, you know, it's one of those things I'm looking at going, okay, what, you know, why, you know, he, you know, and this may be a thing. I mean, who knows if he'll have another season like this. You know, I mean, he's always been a good player. I don't think he's ever been this good. So, yeah. You know, just one of those things. But yeah, I expect him to get some votes, and I can probably tell you here in a minute because they just announced that Giancarlo Stanton has won the National League MVP. So I can tell you, Dan, and this looks like it was a really close race. Wow, a lot of guys got votes, so it's gonna be a minute here. Stanton got 300 total points. He received 10 first-place votes, 10 second-place votes. Well, yeah, this is unbelievable how many frickin' guys got votes here. But, yeah, that was the main thing. Now, he beat out Joey Votto by 2 points. Votto got 10 first-place votes and 9 second-place votes. So, So that's how tight that was. So Votto got some respect. Here's the way they finished, Dan, and this is in after I think I get to five or six. It's no particular order here. Goldschmidt, of course, finished third. He was the other guy nominated. Nolan Arenado was fourth. Charlie Blackman did finish fifth. He managed to get three first-place votes. Anthony Rendon was sixth. Dan, believe it or not, Chris Bryant was seventh and actually got a first-place vote.
Hmm.
So I'm guessing Schaumburg Stu had a ballot for MVP as well, huh?
Good Stu.
So then we got, you know, back-to-back Dodgers. It's Justin Turner, then Cody Bellinger, Max Scherzer, Tommy Pham, Bryce Harper, Anthony Rizzo, J.D. Martinez, Kenley Jansen, Marcell Ozuna, Clayton Kershaw, Corey Seager, Daniel Murphy, Archie Bradley, Zach Greinke, and Ryan Zimmerman were all the players who received votes for National League MVP.
How many?
So yeah, there
how did
you
it
go.
Work out for Paul Goldschmidt?
For who?
Goldschmidt? I missed that.
Goldschmidt, yeah, he finished third. He got four first-place votes, five second-place votes, four third, nine fourth, and five fifth-place votes.
What were his points? So, you said Stanton had 300. Or what did the points
Stanton had 300, yeah, Stanton had 300, Votto, or yeah, Stanton had 302. Votto had 300. Goldschmidt came in at 239. He was just 10 points ahead of Arenado, who was at 229. Blackman, who we were just talking about, finished with 205. They were all the guys to get over 200.
Hmm. You got three Rockies.
So yeah, they and then Rendon and Bryant were the only two other guys over 100. You know, everybody else was in double digits or, you know, like the last three guys got a 10th place vote, so they all had 1 point.
Now, are you surprised that, you know, we weren't surprised that Trout wasn't in it. Were you a little surprised Harper wasn't in the race?
No, you know, I think that injury really took him out of it. You know, he ended up missing a lot of games. So, you know, I mean, once you kind of factor that in, you know, it works out to where it's like, yeah, he was, you know, he was just gone for, you know, for so long. I'm trying to see if I can hunt down his game total real quick. But, you know, I know he kind of, it's always humorous. Anytime I bing Bryce Harper, the first thing that comes up is he a bargain at $500 million? And it makes me laugh every time. Yeah, he only played 111 games last year. So, you know, that's definitely a not enough to be considered an MVP, I don't believe. Even though, you know, he did have a really solid season, you know, 319, 29 bombs, 87 ribbies. So... but yeah, just, you know, one of those things, I think just a few little short on games, is what hurt him.
I mean, Trout was short on games, but you know, he was still in the runnings for the talk of the heads.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's weird is I'm sure when they announce the voting, and we'll have it hopefully by the end of the podcast, you know, the show for it ends at 6 o'clock. You know, I'm sure when we get it, he'll have acquired some votes as well. Oddly, he only played in three more games than Harper. He played in 114. Now, he was 306 with 33 and 72. But he did steal more bases than Harper, Dan. You got to remember that. That only comes into play when it's Mike Trout and when it's an important stat. Otherwise, it doesn't matter for anything else. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like I said, I'm sure once the, you know, the National League voting rolls out here, the American League voting rolls out here, he will definitely have some votes. I won't be surprised if it's one of those stupid things where he finishes fourth. You know, we get the top three guys and then it's Mike Trout. You know, because I guarantee you he'll have some first place votes. You know, it's not going to be, you know, one of those things where he doesn't get any. You know, there's guys out there. Brian Kenny's probably one of them. You know, jumping up and down to get a you know, to get Harper, not Harper, but Trout an MVP, even though he clearly doesn't deserve it. You know, he didn't deserve it last year, and they still gave it to him. No, it was Altuve's award last year. So,
yeah, I guess, do you think that's why they went with the NL first? Because the AL was kind of the main event of MVP voting? Or, you know, the award voting to begin with?
Yeah, you know, when you look at it, I mean, I'm a little surprised because I think – You know, the NL was going to end up being closer than the AL. I didn't realize it was going to be this close. You know, it was basically the fact that Stanton got one more second and one more third place vote that won him the award. So, you know, I mean, because like if, I mean, I'm under the impression that Altuve is going to run away with this.
He
should. You know, I mean, he should be a, he should be a landslide winner. So, I'm a little surprised they didn't announce that one first, unless they wanted to do it last because the Astros won the World Series.
That's true. Well, you know, I just kind of figure because everyone is kind of pushing the Rookie of the Year, Aaron Judge, to win that category also. So,
yeah,
you know, to add to the suspense. Because while the National League MVP obviously, you know, it obviously is an award and a great accomplishment, I don't know that the competition in the AL, the way it was just set up, the drama part of it, I think that came a little bit more into a factor with the AL. But then again, like you mentioned, the Astros did win the World Series, and, you know, waiting to see if Altuve was the MVP for the league, I think adds to the excitement of it, too.
Yeah, well, you know, and you also mentioned the one thing, there's a Yankee, you know, there's a Yankee in the competition, and anytime, you know, there's a Yankee, you know, you're looking at ratings, so you're going to want to make those people wait. You know, stay tuned to see if Aaron Judge can win, you know, so it's just one of those things. So we'll have to see. But, yeah, if Altuve gets robbed again, man, I may just stop watching American League Baseball. I may just become a National League fan. You know, I mean, this is – in reality, he could be looking at the fact that this could be his third MVP in a row. You know, if you remember, in 2015, they said he didn't hit for enough power. So in 2016, he hit 20-plus home runs, and they still ignored him and gave it to Trout. I don't know if they have an excuse this year. You know, nobody's outplayed him. So I mean, we've been banging the drum for this guy for three seasons to get some, you know, some postseason hardware. And apparently you and I are just idiots because, you know, they don't listen to us.
Sorry, we don't get a vote.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, if I got a vote, you know, they would throw me out because I wouldn't vote for any of the, you know, they'd be telling me, well, Sabermetrics says this, and I wouldn't even have that guy on my ballot. So, you know, that's the thing, you know, like a lot of it, you know, they, and, you know, I know we've said this before as well, and I think we do every year the award comes up. They really need to redefine the award. Is it given to the best player in baseball or the most valuable player, because there's a difference. You know, like Joey Votto had a great year, and he was definitely up there as one of the best players. But if you take him off the Reds, they still suck and finish in last place in the Central. If you take Paul Goldschmidt off the Diamondbacks, they probably don't make the playoffs. So, you know, who's more valuable, as the award is named there, Dan?
Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, you would think, right? I mean, that's kind of, you know, always been my understanding of what the award means. So, you know, it's kind of odd. And, I mean, Stanton had a great season. I mean, he deserved the award. If Votto would have won it, he did have a great season. But then, you know, even with, like, Stanton winning it, it's more he was the best player in the National League. He wasn't the most valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and in reality, I mean, you know, and I'll go on record here again and say this, if your buddy Joe Maddon wouldn't have screwed up the Cubs' order, there's a chance we could be celebrating Chris Bryant's second MVP in the row. But batting second with no true leadoff hitter, he doesn't have the opportunity to put up the numbers some of these other guys have. And, you know, that's why he got the one first place vote and he finished in like sixth or seventh. So, you know, he can, you know, if Chris Bryant has a, I don't think he does because he's still in under team control, but, you know, if he had a, you know, a bonus for winning NL MVP, Joe Maddon should be giving him that money because he took it away from him. So, but what did we say? Stanton just cashed. Was it $100,000 for winning the MVP? What is going on with Dan's connection today? It's not even Wednesday, and we're having problems with Dan falling off. But yeah, I believe we looked at Stanton's contract yesterday, and it ended up being $100,000. So, you know, it was one of those, you know, one of those extra just kind of side bonuses he had in his deal, and you know, he's going to be cashing that check as well. I guess, you know, that's, I don't know. Well, he's in Miami. Maybe it's strip club money. So I guess Miami would be the place to spend that $100,000, right? We'll have to see how that works out for him. But yeah, just again, you know, one of my heated things here with the you know, the lack of respect for Charlie Blackmon because he had a down defensive year according to Sabermetrics. So yeah, that's just kind of how things apparently work out. But moving on here in baseball, as we wait for Dan to kind of rotate up, we finally had our first trade. You know, we were waiting a little bit to see what was going on, but it ended up being the Mariners acquiring Ryan Healy from the A's. In exchange, the A's get a right-handed pitcher by the name of Emilio Pagan and a minor league infielder by the name of Alexander Campos. Now, the A's have some young guys at the corners that they were looking to play, you know, which is where Healy played. He played the majority first base, but he played some third, some left, and some right. They're really looking to get, you know, Matt Chapman and Matt Olson more at bats. And then it says, the article I caught here says they're hoping that this will allow Chris Davis to DH more, not the first baseman, the actual outfielder who plays for Oakland. So there you go. But yeah, Healy, he's been in the majors 2 years here. And last year he played in 149 games for the A's, hit 25 homers, drove in 78 RBIs, and he hit 271. So not a bad year. You know, the Mariners were looking for some help at first base because they allowed, you know, they acquired Yonder Alonso from the A's. They allowed him to go into free agency. You know, it doesn't look like they'll be bringing him back. So they definitely needed a, you know, another bat over there. I believe they still have Danny Valencia hanging out on the roster as well. But, you know, Healy's, you know, he'll be a good add at first base. Obviously, he's affordable. You know, he's under club control until, let's see if they have it here, 2022. So yeah, they definitely have a lot of club control there. But yeah, Dan, I was saying we finally had our first trade. The Mariners got Ryan Healy for a right-handed pitcher and a minor league infielder.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. I just didn't really know a whole lot on Ryan Healy.
Yeah, you know, he played mostly, you know, he played most of his time at third base for the A's last year, but he's played some first. So, you know, he'll fit in nicely over there. I'm looking to see the Mariners depth chart. Okay. Yeah. They do have him in at first base. So he should be a, you know, a nice little fit there. But yeah, he hit 270 with 25 bombs and drove in, you know, 80 runs for Oakland. So, you know, in exchange, Pagan, the one pitcher they got, he's 26. He pitched in 34 games for the Mariners last year, was 2-3 with a 3.32 ERA. Did strike out 56 guys in 50 innings and only walked 8. So, you know, it looks like he has pretty solid control as a setup guy. And then Campos is a, they list him as a shortstop third baseman in the minors. He played 59 games at rookie league last year, hit 290 with a couple home runs and drove in 26. So, and he is, what's his age listed at here? He's listed at 17. So definitely, you know, a guy that's, you know, a long way away. But, you know, Dan, I think Schomburg Stu actually asked me this question. Now that we got one trade out of the way, are we going to see some more start to happen?
I would think so. I mean, the White Sox were able to make a deal and pick up a guy who throws 104 miles an hour. I didn't really.
Another one?
I was really busy today. Yeah. I was really busy today, so I didn't really get to look into it.
Yeah, you know, I saw it. Oddly, I believe they picked that guy up from the Mariners as well. So the Mariners have been, you know, a little more, you know, a little more, I don't know, viable or however you wanna look at it on the market. But, yeah, here you go. I'm going to incredibly botch this name, Dan, but I'm guessing it's Thiago Veria. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with there. He is a 24-year-old from Brazil. Oddly, our favorite website, of course, you know, baseballreference.com, did not have this, or MLBTradeRumors.com, excuse me, did not have this trade listed. So I'm going to have to bing this guy here and see if we can find some stats on him and see what the White Sox actually got here.
I saw that through actually NBC Sports, because, you know, we no longer have Comcast Sports, NBC Chicago Sports. So they had posted it. I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Yeah, he pitched one inning for the Mariners and struck out a guy. Looks like he split time between AA and AAA. For AA Arkansas, he pitched 22 games where he was 2-3 with a 3.72 ERA. It was 29 games. 12 games in AAA with a 4.58 ERA, where he was 0-1. He did save 2 games in each league. It will be quite interesting to see, you know, how he does. And I don't think they gave up a whole lot to get him, did they? It was just a minor leaguer?
I believe so. You know, here's an interesting kind of look at things. Okay, here we go. So kind of dating back to 2010, right? The Giants won the World Series. Their number one draft pick that year was, or, you know, the guy that came in their system and helped them win a World Series was Buster Posey. So 2011, it was the Cardinals who really, you know, Cardinals have always built a team from the ground up. They're not, you know, huge on the free agent acquisition. So then we go back to 12 with the Giants again. You've got to wonder if the Giants could have done it in 11 had Buster Posey not been taken out. 13, we get Boston, who was the World Series, and they weren't rebuilt. You know, let's not get confused. But 2013, they have the best farm system rated in Major League Baseball. On top of that, a majority of that roster, the young guys, was all drafted by Theo Epstein, of course. Then they go back to 14 with the Giants, who, you know, their guys kind of came in to their own along with Buster Posey. And then I think you have Panda, who came up through their system. So, and then we look at it in 15, who won in 15? KC, the team that they kind of, they pretty much built, and then were able to get a couple of trades to kind of help them with the pitching. And then, of course, they shored up the bullpen and had everyone going with the 7-8-9, which to me, and I'm sure to you, was not something new. It was just something that hadn't been done in years. But again, that's another team that was built around, you know, guys that they had drafted over the years. And majority of those guys really came in to the Royals system in 2011, 2012, stuck with the team. And, you know, it paid off after losing to the Giants in 14. And then, you know, obviously 16, we had the Cubs, who had the teardown rebuild by Theo. And then, of course, this year, I don't know if you'd call it a teardown or what happened, how they got to that point, but the Astros were built from a completely, you know, completely ground up. I guess the point I'm getting at with what the White Sox have done over the last two seasons, I mean, I don't want to say it because I don't want to be, number one, I'm a Cubs fan. And number two, I really don't want to jinx it. But I can't go any further out on a limb than Sports Illustrated putting the Astros on the cover of the 2017 World Series Champions in, you know, 2014. But I mean, the way the White Sox are doing it, do you think they're almost guaranteed a World Series in at least 20, 21, or 22?
Oh, you know, I don't think I would say guaranteed because there's so many things that go into, you know, doing that. I mean, they're going to have to be able to make the correct ads like the Astros did. You know, while they were built from the ground up, remember, they went out and traded for Brian McCann this year. They signed Josh Reddick. They brought in Carlos Beltran. So they added the
Josh
veterans
Reddick
they
was
need to mix in.
Yeah,
with what was a
young.
Oh, yeah, you know, but he was still part of the team. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you wonder how veteran leadership helps out. And, you know, it's always nice to have those guys. I mean, I don't think any of them had great years. Statistically, it was just the fact that, you know, them being there, and, you know, you're looking at a guy with McCann who was on a lot of those great Brave teams, and, you know, Beltran is probably a Hall of Famer. Now, you know, before you say Reddick didn't do anything, he did hit .314 with 13 homers and 82 RBIs. So.
Yeah, okay. But in the World Series, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of guys didn't do anything in the World Series. You know, McCann hit .241 with 18 homers, 62 RBIs. And then Beltran only hit .231 with 14 bombs and 51 RBIs. So, you know, they added in. I mean, and if you remember, they started off the year with Nori Aoki as their other outfielder, and they ended up dealing him off when it just didn't. You know, it just really wasn't working out, or they needed a place for Marwin Gonzalez to play a little more regularly. So, yeah, you know, while they do have the pieces from the ground up, you know, it's basically Altuve, Correa, Bregman, and Springer who are the building blocks of the everyday lineup. I mean, while Gurriel, it's the only team Gurriel has played with, he's 33 years old and he spent the majority of his time in Cuba. So I don't know if you can give the Astros credit for developing him. You know, he was kind of fully hatched when they, you know, when they got a hold of him. So, you know, it's tough to say they were built from the ground up. I think the Cubs may have been built a little more from the ground up, and, you know, they just added pitching. So, you know, it's difficult to kind of point this out, but, you know, like, you know, obviously, you know, the Astros rotation was really good, you know, with Keuchel and, you know, McCullers and McHugh were all homegrown talent, but, you know, they signed Charlie Morton as a free agent. They got Mike Fiers in a trade. And then of course the big key was acquiring Justin Verlander. So, you know, they did, you know, they added the pieces they needed to win, which is what you've got to kind of wonder if the White Sox will will be able to do that or will be willing to do it. Because, you know, remember, you know, when we started this and you and I used to talk to, his name was Eric, right? From down there.
Yeah.
You know, they talked about how, you know, they were going to build the staff around Mark Appel and he was untouchable. And, you know, they broke down and dealt him after they kind of realized it wasn't going to work out for him. And, you know, you just wonder, will the White Sox make that move when they have to? I mean, would they deal a Carson Fulmer or, you know, a guy like that that they've got so much invested in when the time comes?
I always forget about him, pal. Does he even play anymore?
Who?
Mark Appel.
He was hurt. So.
Kind of sounds like a game show host.
Yeah, doesn't it? So, and here's your host, Mark Appel. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I think they can be contenders. But, you know, I mean, winning is always, you know, one of those kind of side things. You know, can you get it done if you get there? So, yeah, I can't figure out what's going on today, Dan. You're having connection problems, and my internet is acting up, and it's not Wednesday. That's just not right.
Well, the first time I was trying to get my I was flipping through my phone and I accidentally hit the end button. And I honestly didn't even realize it because I had my phone in my hand. But, you know, I was sitting there flipping it. And don't ask. I was just kind of rolling it in my hand and I started talking and then nothing was going on. And oddly, it's happened a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. I hit this one spot and it just cuts out.
Yeah.
And oddly, you have the internet issues,
yeah,
and I have the cell phone issues, and we both have the same company. Go figure on that one.
Yes.
How does that work?
But it does appear, Dan, the voters did learn, and they did do the right thing. Jose Altuve has been named American League Most Valuable Player.
Yay!
So
it's about
the time. Yeah, they managed to figure it out. I'm looking here for the voting totals, but I don't think they have them posted yet. So we'll have to see if I can hunt them down here. If my internet wants to cooperate with me, so we'll have to see how that works out. But yeah, at least They did seem to get that one correct. I was a little concerned that they would find a way to screw it up, but they did not. So we'll see how it worked out. I'm dying to know the voting totals if they have them listed, because I want to see how he did and just kind of check it out. But yeah, I'm having having one of those odd things. They do mention how rare it is for a second baseman to win MVP. Here we go. I hunted them down. Okay, now this was nowhere as close as the National League voting. Altuve got 27 of the 30 first place votes. His other three votes were second place votes. He put up 405 points for a total. Aaron Judge got two first-place votes, 27 second-place votes, and a third-place vote for 279 points. Jose Ramirez did get a first-place vote and racked up 22 third-place votes. He hit 237 points. They were the only guys over 200 or more. Altuve had the big 405. The other guys were over 200. Dan and I were just talking about it a little bit ago. Here you go. Mike Trout finishes fourth. Yeah, only played 114 games, finished fourth. 6 third place votes, 18 fourth place votes, 3 fifth place votes. He got 2 votes for ninth and a vote for 10th. Racked up 197 points. Francisco Lindor was 5th. He got 143 points. Mookie Betts was 6th at 110 points. Corey Kluber ended up 7th with 101 points. As we keep kind of scrolling down here, Chris Sale got 56 points. Excuse me, Andrelton Simmons is next with 60 points. Chris Sale at 56 points. Nelson Cruz was at 44. Brian Dozier at 25. Jonathan Scope at 19. George Springer at 17. Jose Abreu and Eric Hosmer each had 16. Justin Upton had 12. Carlos Correa had 9. Byron Buxton had 7. One more Astro, Marwin Gonzalez, had 6. So that's, what, 4 Astros on the list? So they definitely had a good year. And no Astro pitchers. Edwin Encarnacion and D.D. Gregorius had 4 points. And then Chris Davis, Josh Donaldson, and Gary Sanchez each got 1/10th place vote, so they each got 1 point. So, yeah, there it is, you know, officially now. You know, Jose Altuve wins his first MVP. As we know, this should be a multiple-time award for him, as I've been harping on for a while. But, you know, hey, he can't argue. He finally got the job done. It's a huge, a huge win for him. I mean, he just easily. So we'll, we'll see how that works out. I'm looking here to see who the last second baseman was to win the MVP. It looks like it was Jeff Kent all the way back in 2000. So, yeah, it's definitely few and far between as MVP goes. But, yeah, you know, definitely a runaway win for Altuve, so that's good.
Now, where did Trout finish? I was listening, but I missed.
Trout finished
I heard the
fourth.
Both count. I didn't want to believe that I heard you say that.
Yeah, so... Yeah, you know, just one of those. But yeah, oddly, two Angels made it. His mate Andrelton Simmons got a lot of respect, and ended up finishing in the top 10.
Now, how do Bryce Harper and Mike Trout's stats compare? You know, obviously, like you said earlier, Trout played in 3 more games than Bryce Harper did.
Right. Let me see if I can get a side-by-side going here real quick for us, and we'll be able to take a little better look. But I know they're really comparable, and I know I joked about it earlier. I believe the one big difference is stolen bases. I believe, because
yeah.
Harper didn't have very many. With the leg injury and stuff. So let's see what I can do. Okay, I'll give you Trout's first since we were talking about the American League. It was 114 games. He hit 306, 33 homers, 72 RBIs, 3 triples, 25 doubles. He did walk more than he struck out. He only struck out 90 times and he walked 94. Harper had a little better average. He was at 319, 29 homers, 87 RBIs, 27 doubles and a triple. Did only swipe the 4 bases. He struck out 99 times and he walked 68. So they're pretty comparable, pretty even. When you kind of look at them this way, Harper had more doubles. Trout had more triples and home runs. Harper had more RBIs. Trout had more steals. Trout had more walks. Harper struck out just a little more, only 9 times. Harper had the better average. Trout was kind of digging the sabermetric stuff, on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, OPS plus. He beat him out in all the sabermetric stats. So I'm willing to bet that's what puts him over the top with everybody. But yeah, no, they're very comparable. So
I never understand.
No, there's just a lot of Mike Trout love. I was definitely surprised he didn't get a first place vote. I thought for sure somebody would have him on a number one on their ballot, but he actually just got 6/3 was the best he did. So
I don't know. It's, you know, definitely. I mean, I get it, but again, you know, sabermetric stats aren't Major League Baseball. If you go on their website and check their glossary / you know, dictionary on stats, WAR and such doesn't come up on their official stats.
No, I know. They're, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I think they get hung up on it because the MLB Network pushes it so hard. You know, that it's just one of those things. And jokingly, I had to look this up because I was joking around about it before. It was actually a guy from MLB.com by the name of Mark Bowman who gave Chris Bryant his first place vote in the NL race. So it wasn't either of these Chicago guys who were voting. So.
Wow. That was my take on, or my pick for the year. But I mean, everything wasn't there for him. Actually, I and Mr. Fantasy both picked Chris Bryant, while Schaumburg Stu picked who, Big Jack?
Anthony Rizzo.
If he didn't, yep, I was going to say, if he didn't pick Bryant, he picked Rizzo.
And who did I have?
You had Goldschmidt.
Oh, so I was the closest out of all of them.
Yeah. But you did get the Rookie of the Year correct.
Yay. So, and who did we have in the American League? I know I didn't take Altuve.
Oh, I didn't even look at that one. Because we weren't at that point, and I got the car already.
No, I have the...
But
I
told you... You know, but I told you it was so different when they, you know, and obviously we don't know the exact thought process and what goes into how they vote and pick. But it seemed to me that the winner, well, you know, this year, you know, like you mentioned, Altuve finally got it. Stanton got it. So I kind of feel like those were the deserved winners. But, you know, before it was like with the coach of the year, they really went for, you know, who was legitimately the coach of the year, who put their team in the best position.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, kind of an improvement, so to speak. So I think this year it was kind of similar. But I don't know. Sometimes it's interesting to kind of figure out who they voted for and why.
All right, well, here, I got it for you. You, my friend, selected Gary Sanchez as the AL MVP. Schaumburg Stu went with Mike Trout. I had Mookie Betts, and believe it or not, Mr. Fantasy actually did have Jose Altuve.
Oh, wow.
So
he could buy his own shirt.
Yeah, he's on his own there. I ain't getting, you know, if, you know, like I said before, I don't need to I don't need to make any more donations to his church. He can get his write off someplace else. So, you know,
I'll have to find out.
But yeah, no,
an online card, an email card. You're the winner.
Yeah. I got to tell you though, Dan, I am kind of shocked that they did the right thing. I give the Baseball Writers of America credit. They finally got it right this year. We could give Altuve the award. He so, you know, definitely deserved the last couple of years. So,
I would ask you though, did he only get it because Trout didn't play a full season?
Yes, that's exactly right. The only reason anybody gets it is because something happened to Mike Trout. You know, and that's just how it's going to be. I mean, remember, Miggy won the Triple Crown, and they tried to give it to Mike Trout. All right, something that hadn't been done since, right, it was either 1969 or 1967, and they tried to say it was because Trout was a better base runner and a better defensive player. So,
who was
the
Triple Crown? Ted Williams, right?
Carl Yastrzemski was the last one before Miggy.
Oh, Carl, why do I think it's Ted Williams?
Well, they were Red Sox. And Theo's probably tried to sign both of them at some point in time for the Cubs. So.
Come work with us. I believe it was 69.
Yeah, I know it was. It might have been 69. I think he might have been Rookie of the Year in 67. You know, I know it was, you know, something like that. But, you know, just one of those, you know, funky things. But, you know, there haven't been too many. But, yeah, the minute they tried to, tried to diminish that accomplishment, and be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, this guy, oh, no, it was actually 67. You know, but, yeah, they were just kind of like, yeah, you know, Mike Trout should really win it because, you know, he's this or he's that. And, you know, there's only been in baseball history, Dan, there are
three or four.
Miggy was the 17th guy to win the Triple Crown.
Wow.
Now some of the other names who won it, I mentioned Yastrzemski. He joins a club that has Frank Robinson, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams did it twice, Joe Medwin, Lou Gehrig, Chuck, Jimmy Fox, Roger Hornsby's did it twice, Ty Cobb, Nap LaJoy, and then the other three guys from the 1800s, Hugh Duffy, Tip O'Neill, and Paul Hines. Hines actually won it with just four home runs. That's how different the game was back then. But, yeah, I mean, that's the list Miggy was on, and they didn't think he deserved to be MVP.
Wow.
You know, it took 45 years. You know, like, Robinson won it in 66. Yastrzemski won it in 67. It took 45 years for another guy to do. Yeah. You know, but yet that wasn't MVP worthy, according to some people who believe Mike Trout should have been, the MVP that year. That's just how scary that stuff is. You know, when you start thinking about that, so. You know, it's like, really, that's how frightening this is, that they actually think that a guy who won the Triple Crown didn't deserve to be MVP, basing it on defense and running ability.
So, but yet, the very next year, stolen bases don't count.
Right. You know, it's all, you know, they only tailor it to what they need. You know, if they need him to count, then it's important. You know, if they don't need him to count, well, then we're not going to talk about him. So that, you know, these don't matter anymore. You know, that's what I'm waiting for, somebody to bring up wins one year when they need it to prove their pitcher relative relevance after they've basically just kind of trashed the win here. So,
yeah.
But you know, I know we've been baseball heavy. The awards here, Dan, but I got to talk to you about this before we run out of time. I think it's too late for you, but it's possible maybe this is something you could start your daughter on that path really early, or maybe if you guys decide to have another one and you have a boy. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Steph Curry is giving online basketball classes, Dan. So you can go in and learn how to play basketball from Steph Curry.
You got to learn to double dribble. And I don't mean take the ball up. I mean dribble with both hands. That's all you got to do, learn to dribble with both hands.
Yeah, he partnered with something called MasterClass, which is an online education forum. And he'll be teaching class that begins early next year. So, you know, I don't know, you know, where your daughter will be at by that time, Dan, but it's possible you could start teaching her the game and she could learn from Steph Curry.
She could be a WNBAer. Now,
yep.
How come there's another guy, you know, how could I forget his name? He's probably the most famous basketball player in the world today. How come he didn't think of something like this? I mean, he's all about the game and, you know, he's all about the game and telling other teams what to do.
Yeah, it is interesting. Now, here, oddly enough, Dan, apparently Serena Williams has taught tennis on this site. Gordon Ramsay, if you've ever watched Fox or anything like that, he's got shows. Christina Aguilera and Steve Martin have also contributed to this site. Now, Dan, the enrollment fee for the course is MasterClass is $90, and $180 gives users unlimited access to all of the courses taught by the professionals and the experts there.
That's not bad at all, to be honest with you.
Uh-oh.
I mean, of course, depending on how many courses there are and, you know, that good stuff. But that's actually pretty, it's a lot more economical than I thought you were going to say. I thought we were looking in the 300+ Is this kind of like a one-time deal, or do you think this is something that they'll continue to do to kind of not only establish, you know, the Steph Curry brand, so to speak, you know, something for him to do as he moves out of basketball in, you know, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be one of those things that you're going to have to see how it goes first. Yeah, you know, because you just got to kind of wonder, you know, if it's worked out. But yeah, I'm actually on the site now. It's simply just masterclass.com, so it's easy to find. And yeah, he's one of the guys they're really pushing. It says coming this winter, Stephen Curry teaches shooting, ball handling, and scoring. It's 15+ lessons.
Yeah. $90. That's not bad.
Yeah. So it's definitely, it gives you lifetime access. So I'm assuming you could go back and rewatch it and stuff afterwards with the, you know, once you paid the $90. So
yeah, that's pretty valuable. Not to change it, but we're running.
I saw online classes. I thought of you right away.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're not taking it. I'm gonna try it for the G League next year.
I
watched the Bulls last night.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just want to bring up. I watched the Bulls last night, and man, are they horrible! Maybe they should take this time.
Well, they're playing tonight, so you can watch them again. But the music means Dan and I really got to get out of here. We're coming back tomorrow live at 5:30 to do it all again. But hey, while we're gone, sportstimeradio.com. If you didn't read the blog yesterday, get over there. It's still right there. Read it today. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. Hey, thanks for jumping on and listening to us live. It's cool that you do that, but don't forget the podcast is available for you anytime you want right over at tunein.com.